Hello.
Hello，
IP 的，I'm just going to wait a couple of minutes. I'm sure Owen will join us. At least he told me so.
I already had contact with him today, so I suppose he would come soon.
Okay, thanks. Die Christina und Bastian hier. Hey, danke.
Hallo. Danke.
Kann ich auch auf Deutsch machen. Ich glaube, das Passwort ist für alle Folio-Meetings immer das generelle Passwort irgendwie. Also ich glaube, auch in anderen SIGs wird das verwendet.
Okay, danke. Ich hatte das nirgends, deswegen kam ich eben nicht rein. Aber Dankeschön.
Also, wir warten eigentlich noch kurz. Ich dachte, Owen würde uns noch beehren. Also, ich habe mit ihm geschrieben und jetzt gerade auch noch mal per Slack gefragt, ob er kommt. Habe eigentlich nichts Gegenteiliges gehört. Warte ich noch kurz.
Hallo, vielleicht kannst du auch noch mal den Link zu dem Dokumentenplatz schicken. Das suche ich jedes Mal mal genauso wie das Passwort, damit
Du
wir wissen,
meinst
wo
für
wir drauf
die.
gucken.
Ach so, ja, ich hatte auch noch so ein. Ah, und kommt gleich. Ich hatte noch so eine Agenda auch erstellt, so ein bisschen. Ich schicke erstmal diesen Agenda hin. Der ist in dem Google Drive Folder quasi von der Oase.
Danke.
Und es gibt auch noch für das Meeting ein Protokoll. Ist das Protokoll noch, aber das ist letztlich nur eine Kurzfassung davon. Oh, Owen ist hier. Hi, Owen.
Hi, sorry I'm late.
Oh, no worries. But then I just switched to English real quick. Yeah, I just posted an agenda link in the chat. I don't know if some of you had a chance to already browse through the points. I think the first topic is maybe the most important one and the one I keep getting questions about most of the time, and it's this the second development phase of the app. And to start with a little downer, there are no news, unfortunately, on this topic. Even after multiple notifications and solicitations from my side, the preparation of the tender process is still in progress at Leipzig University. I don't want to sound too apologetic here, but there are obviously reasons for this. As I've told earlier, this app development project is part of a larger folio migration project here at Leipzig University, and this project unfortunately took off to a late start in just early summer. And there are still some ongoing IT-related prioritization and evaluation issues that need to be resolved and taken into account in the app development tender. So, long story short, as of now, I can't announce a certain start date for the development of new OA app functionality. And I won't, because every bold statement comes back to haunt you, I guess, sometime. And I have no real influence on this process. So I don't know if any feedback from the group to this. It's unfortunate, I know. But it's just the reality right now. So this kind of brings me to the second question, and something that we or I can influence. And this is the question about the future meeting cycles of the OASIC. And I would like to get your feedback if we should keep up a monthly cycle despite no active development work and no issues or topics brought up in Slack. I guess I'm neutral to this, and I think there are two options maybe. I could start a new event series next year and cancel single events when no issues or topics arise. Or option B, I think we could put the SIG in an idle state or something like that and start a new meeting cycle when an active development functionality starts. If you have an opinion towards one or the other, please let me know now or afterwards. Peter's preferring the second. I'm leaning towards the second as well, actually.
I'm not sure if this is the only forum for discussing experiences with the app, or if there's any other place. I think last time, or at least last time when I attended, we discussed how many productive installations there are, and I think those institutions should probably be most relevant in this discussion or in the decision. So if they want to update each other or discuss things, our main problem at Göttingen is that we can still not start even testing because the app is not listed as official. I don't know, you can probably explain better, but it's not an official part of the release, and so the VZG, so computing center, will not be able to provide us with the installation, and so we are on hold, although we would like to test. And as long as this is the case, we cannot really contribute. So for me, it would sound more useful if there's nothing actively going on to have a 2 monthly cycle, something like this, to find out if there are things. And I have not looked at the agenda, but it seems there are a list of things. So it would be probably useful to look at these things from time to time. So not cancel at all, but have a longer cycle. But that's just my opinion.
But then they maybe once every 2 months could be a good compromise then, at least for the next half a year. So I'm hoping that we can get things going in the start of next year, but as I said, I can't make any promises. But in the meantime, this would be a good compromise from my side, so that we at least keep in touch and discuss certain things that arise. As you said, I think there are always some topics we can talk about. We can all give this a little more thought, and you can always send me your feedback. But for now, I would say that we go to this once every second month, and then we're fine for the moment. Okay. Cool. Some thumbs up here. Okay. Then I actually post this topic lists up as a potential solution for OA reporting needs. I think we touched upon this couple of times before, and I stumbled upon this topic again while catching up with CCO's WolfCon sessions. And a couple of sessions talked about reporting in general and lists app in particular. I posted the links to two of the sessions in the agenda if you would like to have a look afterwards. And they showed the basic functionality and what it can do right now. And what I was surprised to hear was that you can actually create lists of records across apps and record types. I kind of always had the false assumption that reporting is limited to data from one app, so that users kind of had to export large lists from different apps and then stitch them together with a second solution afterwards. But as it actually turns out, and it's already actually visible in Snapshot, there's also the possibility to create cross-app reports combining data from different apps. And that's one example in there, combining data from orders, invoices, and finances, which is quite wide report, but it can be defined there. And this sort of fuels my optimism that some or a lot of our OA reporting needs could be indeed solved by the list app as well, and kind of take the pressure off this in-app OA reporting functionality that we are seeking to develop. So maybe question to the group, does any of your institutions currently use the lists app? I think I had a conversation with a guy from Bamberg, the IT department in Bamberg. They use the list app a lot for their function for their reporting needs. So maybe others can contribute any experience with this app and how they use it. And if not, if I would like to ask Owen if my assumptions that I made just made are correct. Do you know more about this app, or have you actually used it, tested it?
I think he has disappeared, right? Oh no, he's
Oh, he's
back.
just. Ah, yeah, he is. Owen, are you still there? Sorry. Disappeared and coming back. Because if it w would be a solution for OA reporting needs, I would suggest that we try to free up some developer capacity in our Folio project here and try to integrate some relevant OA reports in the list app. I know we started some work on this a couple of years ago. We had an intern here who looked into this process of integrating new lists in the app, which is a bit tricky, as I've learned. Or like hard coded into this app, and you have to make commits to bring in new lists. But I think it's a viable solution actually for our immediate needs.
I guess you could repeat your question to Owen because he will not
Yeah, it was
have heard
okay.
it.
Yeah, sorry, Owen. You were gone. I was talking about the list app and the possibility to create cross-app reports, which I found out via some WolfCon sessions this year. I always had the assumption that you can only have data from one app integrated in the lists, in the list.
Yeah,
But I
I'm
think
not.
it's wait, yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, I'm. So I don't know what it would take to get OA as part of that setup. I think the integration needs to be with mod FQM, which and there's essentially you have to find a way, you have to implement the app into mod FQM. So there's work, I think, that happens in mod FQM to make this possible. And I'm not sure what the initial version options there were to were just single app. And then, as you say, I think they have some multi-app examples now, but I don't know what, I don't know how that's achieved at the moment. So I haven't looked at this at all. But I would be happy to ask some questions and do some investigation to find out what would be necessary.
Oh, okay, that would be great if you could dig out some pieces of information here. And I will try the same because, as I've just said, we had an intern here, I think a year ago or 1.5 years ago, who looked into integrating OA data into Listapp and found out that it's quite a tricky process because all, it's like all hard coded into this into the app code base.
I think that's the problem. That would be my understanding, but I am happy to take another look.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, if you come up any information, then it would be great. Yeah, but as I said, I will try to chase our IT department with this topic as well. So this might be
Okay.
a good solution for our needs as well. Okay, but that sounds good, I think. Great. Let's keep us updated. And then the next item are some, well, I would say, potential bugs that we stumbled across in the charge functionality. Actually, there are two, and we found this by chance, actually. And I was surprised that we haven't catched this earlier. And I tested it in our local system and in Snapshot as well, and in both systems those issues came up. And the first one is a wrong calculation of totals in the charge UI when a discount is entered as an absolute amount and tax is applied. Maybe I could actually share my screen and show it. You wanna, I don't know, Owen, if you had a chance to look into to this, if
I'm afraid not.
oh, okay. If my assumptions are actually correct, maybe I made a mistake here, but just try if I can. Maybe. Do you see my screen?
Yeah.
So it's temporarily unavailable.
Oh, you'll need to use Snapshot 2. Snapshot is down at the moment.
Ah, okay. Is it just the two? Where does the two go? Sorry.
Folio hyphen Snapshot hyphen 2.
Selection. Oh, sorry. Thanks for this. Okay, push this away a little. So I need a, I think there are no requests in there. Just entering a minimal request because what we're looking for is the charge. And problem is here in this discount functionality. You can toggle between percentage and absolute values. And if I use percentage, the calculation is correct with tax. Let's say with 90% tax, it's the correct amount, the 100 dollars in this case are deducted and then taxes added. But if I change this to the same discount amount, like 100 is the same as an absolute amount, the calculations are off somehow. Or did I make a mistake?
Is that, can we put tax to zero?
Yeah. Let's try this. Yeah, here that this one was correct, and I wrote this in the description. It's in
And
combination with text and
okay, so it looks like tax is being treated like an exact amount as well as the discount. So they're
yeah.
both being calculated as just a subtraction from the total, which is clearly wrong. Tax should always be a percentage. Okay, we need to write this up. I can do that.
Okay, I can support you. I try to make a detailed explanation in the agenda if you can reuse most of it.
Sure.
This should be helpful, but okay, I didn't make any mistake here. Okay. And the other one, that came up was, I think I called it stickiness of choosing one or the other. Let's go back to this 10% example. Go back to this. Really not sure if this is actually a bug or if there's a reason behind it. But when I save it and say I made a, I don't know, a mistake or something, and then I try to re-edit it with an absolute amount. By the way, this mistake here only is visible here in the UI. When I save the charge the first time, the amount is calculated correctly. Just as a side note.
Okay.
This is
But it's
also in the
this.
description. This is also in the description. But here, this other problem is kind of another issue. You can't change the discount type now. It will always use the percentage amount that you first entered, and vice versa. It's something that I've never tested actually, and then I don't know if it ever happens that you have to ch choose one and then you have to change it otherwise, but afterwards, but it's not possible.
Yeah, I mean, that does also look like a straight up bug, doesn't it? I don't know why that would be the case. But something I get, I'd need to look at exactly what's being submitted when you hit save on that screen to know whether it's, so it could either be that the information isn't being submitted properly, which is my guess, or that submission is happening, but the back end isn't updating as a result, which seems less likely to me, but it's also a possibility. I'll need to check which one of those is happening. Hopefully, it's just that the UI is not submitting the data correctly, because that will be an easier fix.
And to add to my to this first problem, I'm gonna add another charge just to show you that the first one is really just an UI problem, I think.
Yeah.
Let's go back to this $100 example. Here, the calculations, as we said, are wrong here.
Yeah.
But when you save it, you get the correct total.
Ah, okay.
That's obviously a UI problem,
Yeah, so it's just the calculation on the screen that's not working. Okay, that's, I mean, I guess I'm not very surprised we missed, well, I don't know. I'm I, I'm I kind of I can see that we might have missed the stickiness one,
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it requires you to take a specific set of actions that you might think was unlikely in real life. Obviously, it can happen. You could make a mistake, but I'm a bit more surprised we didn't notice this because it is clear on the screen.
Yeah, the other one was
But I guess
strange.
possibly if it was saved correctly and you were working through this quite quickly, you would be paying more attention to this output than you would be on the on-screen calculation. So yeah, okay. I mean, they both seem like pretty straightforward bugs, are hopefully both in the UI. So hopefully not too difficult to fix, but I'll need to write up as a Jira and talk through with Jack, the developer.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. And as I said, I was quite disappointed with myself that I haven't found this earlier, to be
Yeah.
honest. But we actually have never used absolute discount amounts, to be honest. We
Yeah.
always used the percentage and it worked fine. So,
Yeah.
yeah. No worries. That's good that you're on it. Thank you. So, Peter had to leave already. And I'm going to make it quick because now that this one is solved, there's only one minor issue, and this is the puppy to Eureka platform change. I think most of you have heard, at least heard about this, that with Sunflower released Folio will transition from Okapi to Eureka for several reasons. Obviously, it strengthens authentication and authorization. That's not our business, but I was interested if there are any ramifications for OAuth and OAuth maintenance development for future releases or updates. I'm not really informed about this topic, to be honest.
As far as I know, there shouldn't be any issues. We've not had, so the intention of the Eureka development is that it is compatible, and so where Eureka doesn't identically recreate the same functionality as Okapi. So for those of you, I mean, this may not be too interesting for those of you who are just using the system, but this is the underlying, this is software that all of the applications use in Folio to communicate with the web interface, essentially called an API gateway. In Okapi is actually the name of the gateway, OK API, or OK API. In Eureka, the gateway is called Kong. But the it should be compatible. And we have had some issues, minor issues with other apps that have all been easily fixable. And I think that the issues that we saw with those apps, actually, we've already actioned for OA. So there are some minor changes to permissions. You have to be a bit more careful and precise with permissions Eureka than you did with Okapi. There are some that essentially things that were previously guidelines have become required. So some things about the structure of permissions, and I think that those were already fixed actually across the board. But if they're but they were easy to fix, then they're not, you know, there are a few lines that need changing generally. So if there are any issues that haven't been fixed, I think we'd be confident that they could be fixed. And we haven't seen any other issues with other applications. The other thing that does change is that with Eureka, the way that applications are deployed within a Folio tenant or Folio instances has changed. And mentioned earlier was this issue about OA not being part of the Flower release set of applications. The the change with Eureka is that applications are bundled up in a slightly different way. So there's a different method for them being implemented into a particular Folio installation. And that means that the intention there is that it's easier to have to decide which apps you're actually going to run. I don't know whether that would change the view of, say, VZG as to how they supported this, but it would change that. And it does raise a question for open access, how that app bundling is done. But I think, again, that work at the moment, there is, I think, an open access application for Eureka that is already available. Let me double, let me see if I can just double check that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I had a look into that's a Eureka snapshot as well, and I saw the OA up in there, so there must
Yeah.
be one now.
So, well, they did a couple of things. So one was, let me just double check. Yeah. So there's something called App OA, which is what they call an application descriptor. And application descriptors can actually include multiple, what we would think of as Folio applications. So, for example, I think there's an acquisitions app descriptor that contains orders and finance and invoices and organizations. So the OA application descriptor just contains the OA app. So in a sense, what that basically means is there's not much change from our point of view. There would obviously be the question about whether, if it were to become part of the Flower release, whether that's the right way for it to be structured. And that could be a discussion. But I would say it probably is, because the whole point of this approach, or, well, I say that part of the reason that they want to take this approach is to allow the is to allow institutions decide which applications they use more flexibly. So maybe, you don't want to use OA, but you do want to use acquisitions. Obviously, that you want to be able to install all of orders and finance, etc., without also installing open access. But on the other side, if you install open access, you probably want the other applications as well. So you want to be able to do invoices at least. And so it does change that, that there are some questions there as to the right structures, but all of this stuff is under the surface and wouldn't make a difference. It's no change from the user's perspective.
Okay.
And I also think that the way we all, as far as I can see, we already have it working, and there's no specific development that would have to take place for the, I would say one other thing, I mean, and sorry, this is very technical discussion, so it's not very interesting from a user perspective, but the it is also the case that now I believe there is a an attempt to run Sunflower. Sunflower was originally going to be Eureka only, and now a group of institutions have got together for the community to get a Sunflower version running on Okapi, because not every institution that self-hosts is ready to move to Eureka yet. And VZG are part of that group and are running now a Sunflower based on Okapi. So the other question is, do the applications continue to work with Okapi when you're running Sunflower? Because the Bugfest for Sunflower was on Eureka, so that hadn't been fully tested. Again, I'm not anticipating any issues, and OA, it doesn't really apply to OA in the same way because we never had that test on Bugfest. So it's not like we've already had a test and it's passed it and we're just checking. So it runs on Snapshot, still runs on a Kappy, and that's even more up to date than the latest release, which is Sunflower. I can't see that there's any problem with that, and OA continues to work without a problem in that context. So I don't have very many worries at this point about compatibility, either way.
Okay, that sounds good. I was not sure about that, and this is sounds like a relief. Okay, thanks. All right then, I think we are through with at least the points I came up with. Don't know if there are any other issues or topics from the group.
Maybe, I don't know if it's possible to explain if our situation will change. So will there be anything, whatever the exact reason is, that Port-A-G will not be able to install the OA app? Will that change in any of the releases? I'm afraid I have not really understood what Owen just explained because it's very abstract for us. So this dependencies of the different apps and releases, because I have no clue where OA is integrated in which format.
I can't say that because it's not obviously that's a decision for VZG, not anything to do with me. The what I will say is that the intent of Eureka was to make it easier to have different apps installed in different Folio installations. So it's meant to make it easier, which might mean that I mean, I think it might mean that the question about what is in and what is not in a flower release becomes less important, because people are just picking from a list of applications. And so, of course, that could change the attitude of hosting providers as to whether they provide it or not in particular instances, or how much effort it is to run it. Because I think that at the moment, the problem with a hosting provider supporting, say, the OA app isn't that it wouldn't work, but just that it's more effort. Right, it costs them more because it's if they take the installation that's delivered as part of the flower release, it's they know what it is, and they don't have to do anything else. They can take that list of applications and they know everything's been tested to run together and it's all great. The adding extra things into that, there's a cost everything that you add to that. So the idea with the Eureka approach is that that makes it easier. Whether it makes it easy enough to reduce the cost to zero, I don't know. And whether that would change the mind of a specific hosting provider, I couldn't say.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Now I think I understood better. But is it then, or conclusion is the OA app is not official part of any of the existing releases, right?
That's true, yeah.
Okay. And okay, that will not, as how you just explained it, that will not change because in Eureka it will be different anyway.
So it can't it so it will take work to change that. So I think that part of the work that Martin mentioned at the top could include work to make that happen.
Okay.
So it's possible that we might get it approved. So the reason it's not part of the official set of applications, well, there are probably two reasons. One is the question about how widely used it is. So the like open access is definitely a lot more of interest in Europe than it is in other parts of the world. But the other is I think, and the more important one was that there are some technical issues that need addressing before it is approved as a an application to be included in the main release by the technical council, who have a process that every app that gets added to the official installation has to go through. And for various reasons, the open access app didn't succeed when it went through that process, and there wasn't enough money or time to fix it. The open access app does work, of course, and some of those things were things like documentation, and some of them were things like the amount of automated tests that were available for it. There are various things. Some of it was about the technical council process, which we had to fight quite hard to get changed to make it more appropriate for certain situations. And some of that work has been done because we also went through the same process with the Serials app, which is built with the same software, and that succeeded. And that was partly because of the lessons we'd learned from the open access app. We were able to get the Serials app through. But unfortunately, until there's more money to work on the open access app, we can't actually make the changes that would be necessary. And of course, there's a question about when it is funded for Leipzig, for instance, how important is it that it goes through that process versus other pieces of functionality? So, obviously, from your perspective, it's really important because you can't use it unless, well, not, it will make it much more likely that you'll be able to use it. But for Leipzig as self-hosting, they may have different priorities. I mean, I'm not saying they do. I'm just saying not everybody will have the same investment in getting it through that process, and it costs money to do it, is the bottom line. I think that eventually we could get there. I think, well, it's definitely achievable. I think it's not clear to me really whether Eureka and the new approach will actually change anything or not, right? It's meant to. That's the idea. It's meant to make it goes back when Folio was first created, they had the idea that Folio would be a bit like an app store on a phone, where you just decide in the library which apps you're going to use and you install those. In reality, that's not happened. And the Eureka is an attempt somewhat to make that more possible. But I don't actually know whether that will happen because libraries generally like the idea that they're all using the same stuff, I think. So there's a bit of just because it can happen doesn't mean that it will happen, I think is my view there. But we'll have to see once Eureka gets more widely adopted, because at the moment it's being used by very few libraries. All EBSCO libraries will get to it when they migrate to Sunflower. Most EBSCO libraries are still on Ramsons. When they move to Sunflower, they'll move to Eureka. But outside EBSCO at the moment, there aren't any, I don't think, Eureka users. There will be eventually, but it won't happen quickly.
Okay, good. Got a
Yeah,
better
I think it's
understanding.
made a bit more transparent. And for me to just close the cycle to what I was saying at the beginning, we are, and this is also one of the reasons why this process takes so long here to come up with a tender and get the project starting, the development starting. We see this dilemma that there is a group of institutions who could use the app if it was part of the OA, of the Folio Flower releases. But as Owen said, that would also take a bit of money to achieve this. And on the other hand, there are a lot of institutions who would like to see new functionality built into the app, which potentially could make it, I'm not sure if make it harder to then bring all of this, the old functionality and the new functionality into the file releases, or would be a good point to say, stop for a minute and take what we have right now and invest the money to bring in the OA app into the flower release right now, and then restart the process from there. And there's a like an internal discussion process here right now what the right way would be, and we're also talking to the VZG what their approach is and why or how they could support hosting of the OA app functionality and under what circumstances. And until these questions are solved, we We're kind of on hold now. Just to give you a little background why this is so problematic. Okay. Yeah, but I think we're almost out of time, but if there are no other issues, I would say I would call it a day and thank you for all of your attendance and attention. And as I said, I will come up with a new event series starting with once every 2 months, and then we'll see where we go from there. Okay. And
So in December there's no
no, I wouldn't say that.
meeting?
That's
Okay.
no.
So, or maybe there's one, but you will cancel it.
Yeah, I'm gonna cancel this one and start with a new year then. Cool. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
And
all. Apologies again for being late.
oh, no worries. I went there. And enjoy the rest of the year, so to say, in the Christmas period.
Happy Christmas to everyone. It's a bit early,
It's a bit
isn't
early, but who cares? Need a
Okay.
optimistic light at the end of the tunnel. Cool. Thanks,
Okay.
everyone. See you then.
Bye-bye. Thank you,
Bye-bye.
Martin.
Thanks all. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.